godsend for those of us seeking comic relief in politics.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Say hey, it is Monday. The time is 5:32. You're listening to Say Hey right here on KZFR, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs. Noobs, how are you?
I'm doing well, man.
Excellent. You went to both Dead shows this last weekend, did you?
I did. I went to the Fairly Well event down in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium.
And you had a good time.
I had a great time. It was a little bit sad, a little bittersweet.
Right.
But it was great to see people coming out and celebrating this band one last time. Obviously, there's going to be the three shows in Chicago next weekend.
Highlights from all the sets combined? Anything in particular?
Well, for me, you know, as a fan of Phish, I thought it was great that they asked Trey Anastasio to come play with them. There's been a lot of people hating on Phish as far as Deadheads throughout the years, but I think it was really nice. To see everybody kind of come together.
That's cool.
You know, and there was a really magical moment on Saturday night. We had a couple of rain droplets, and we got a rainbow.
Oh, yeah,
right over the stadium.
I heard about
that. And you couldn't kind of help but wonder if maybe that was Jerry. You know, or
that's cool.
Energy.
I heard the sunset was pretty nice that night as well.
It was a beautiful weekend.
Yeah. That's great. And we're into the dog days of summer, Noobs.
Yes.
It's that time of the year. And so with summer in mind, we're going to lead off with baseball today. And we've got kind of baseball madness for the next couple of months before the NFL starts up.
Yep.
And the Giants had a good weekend. They picked up their play at home. They took 2 of 3 from the Rockies. They took 2 of 3 from the Padres during the week. And yesterday, it was all about taking a series from a team that has been pesky in the Colorado Rockies.
Absolutely.
They're kind of everybody's worst nightmare, even though they kind of annually stink.
I mean, but how about Nolan Arenado?
Oh, Nolan Arenado is really good.
I mean, 8 home runs in the last 7 games.
Oh, yeah, and his defense, too, is just incredible.
Single-handedly saving my fantasy season, by the way.
You talk about a guy with a tremendous upside. That dude's the real deal.
He really is.
He really is. And you know, oftentimes, hitters that play in Coors Field get talked about as being Coors Field hitters, but there are plenty of exceptions to that.
Right.
Troy Tulowitzki obviously being one. He gets hurt a lot. Nolan Arenado being the latest. I mean, he's legit. He is the real deal.
No doubt.
So it was an entertaining weekend of baseball, and Madison Bumgarner just does Madison Bumgarner things that most other people don't do. And in addition to being 8-4 now with an ERA under 3, he's back to his swinging ways, and he hit another home run yesterday. This one went 3/4 of the way up the foul pole. Let's have a listen to how it sounded on CSN Bay Area.
High and deep and out of here! He hits his second of the year.
It's Madison Bumgarner hitting another home run, and I like to refer to him often as a folk hero. He's like having Paul Bunyan on your team or
Absolutely. He's larger than life.
He is larger than life, and he's in a quiet dignity kind of way. He's very entertaining to have on your team. He threw another great game yesterday. Giants get the win. And the surprising thing here is you look around the infield as the entire starting outfield, aside from Pagan, is injured. Pence is out. Aoki's out. Mm-hmm. Pagan actually missed a game the other day with a banged-up knee. They had an entire reserve outfield. Then you look around the infield, and it's entirely homegrown. You've got Brandon Belt playing first base. You've got Buster Posey and Susak playing catcher. Posey also at first. Joe Panik at second. Mm-hmm. Brandon Crawford at short. And Matt Duffy at third. And their infield is thriving right now. And for all the talk of the Giants having a weak farm system of late based off of their first-round selections and so forth, mm-hmm. it goes to show you that advanced scouting in, you know, big-time websites and magazines, they only know so much.
Right.
Because Joe Panik's probably going to the All-Star game as a reserve, hitting over 300, got 7 home runs, a bunch of RBIs, playing good defense. Matt Duffy is going to be in the race for Rookie of the Year. He probably won't win with all the hype of Chris Bryant and Jock Peterson, but
right.
Matt Duffy right now is a legitimate baseball player as a rookie. It's kind of cool looking around the infield and seeing homegrown stuff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I want to do this, and I'm not rubbing this in on you, John. I would do this no matter who he played for.
Bring it.
I'm going to bring it. You've got to do the Matt Duffy-Pablo Sandoval comparison right now, because Casey McGee started the season off as the Giants' third baseman and has been beneath contempt, was sent to the minors, and is now a pinch hitter and still not doing anything, hitting about 200. So here's the stats. Matt Duffy, 218 at-bats, 8 home runs, 37 RBIs, a .303 average, a .349 on-base percentage, 4 errors, league minimum, making the league minimum. Pablo Sandoval in Boston, 244 at-bats, 7 home runs, 26 RBIs, .275 average, .321 on-base percentage, 10 errors, $17 million. Remember when we talked, and I was kind of bummed because Pablo was a fan favorite, but I also said there are certain things that I'm really not going to miss and that'll feel good once he's gone for a while. This is kind of what I was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I honestly wasn't a big fan of the signing mm-hmm. myself, because I think he has a tendency to be a little overweight at times.
Yes, you can
say
that.
I mean, granted, that might help, you know, with his power and all that, but, you know, sometimes he can, I mean, he makes spectacular plays sometimes, but also he can be somewhat of a liability,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if he's not crushing the ball, then, you know, honestly, like you just pointed out statistically, he's kind of just an average player
yeah.
that's making incredible money, you yep. know, that's really not warranted at this point. And then also, you know, with some of the comments that he made, you know, after his departure, just kind of like sour grapes for no reason.
Selfish, you yeah. know, immature stuff.
So it'd be one thing I could see, you know, in the eyes of Bay Area fans, like, now it's real easy. You know, those comments made, obviously, you know, like you said, he was a fan favorite.
Yeah.
They nicknamed him Kung Fu Panda.
Yep.
You know, obviously World Series hero.
Yep.
But I think, you know, obviously, yeah, Giants fans aren't missing him right now. I know you're not.
I'm not at all. And I don't really even wish him ill so much as I just don't miss him, especially with the checking his Twitter feed in the restroom during the baseball game.
Yeah, and the content of the material is supposedly yeah. that he was quote-unquote liking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox are a mess right now.
They are, so let me just get your mid-season report, if you will, on the Red Sox and what you would like to see happen going forward.
Terrible. yeah. It's an F. No, I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously they kind of have been hit by the injury bug a little bit. Pedroia is now on the DL. Ramirez took a ball off his wrist as he was running the base paths. I'm not really sure on his status at this point.
Of course, but the offense hasn't been the issue.
The offense is, I mean, it's, you know, right now their run differential is, you know, minus -45.
Right.
You know, they've scored some runs. I mean, they've scored 314, but the pitching just can't seem to stop anybody. Clay Buchholz is the one exception right now on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
He's been pitching well lately after a pretty rocky start.
Yeah.
You know, they're 8 back right now. It's a tough division. I mean, you look in the East right now, everybody but the Red Sox is above 500.
Yeah.
Five games or more.
The Tampa Bay Rays are, they've got to be the biggest surprise of the year in some ways.
They
were really written off in a way that was like, you know what, I don't even need to pay attention to this team at this point. You know, even we were like, this is a last place, this is a 100-loss team.
Yeah, and especially in the post, like, Joe Maddon era, you know, everybody was
Their GM takes off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, kudos to them. They keep doing it in, you know, kind of a weird little ballpark that nobody seems to want to go to.
No, and, definitely a relic.
Yet they, you know, they still keep chugging along. Baltimore is playing well, obviously.
Baltimore's
winners of 4
it
in
up
a row.
Big time.
So that's going to be an interesting race. I mean, that could be a 3 or 4 team race till the end.
Yeah, it really could.
I'm liking the Blue Jays if they can go out and maybe pick up an arm at the deadline.
Yeah, yeah. The pitching is kind of your typical issue out there in Toronto, mm-hmm. at least in this era. Didn't used to be in the 90s, of course.
Right.
But, and then, you know, the A's picked up a little momentum. And then they just kind of lost it over the weekend, got swept by the Royals. And really, that's been their thing all season, is they just don't have any consistency. And that might come with, as we've talked about, having a roster that's just kind of cobbled together with some definite good ball players, but then other pieces just kind of, here they are. Now they're talking about trading Zobrist, who's, you know, somebody that is definitely a piece at the trade deadline because he can play so many different positions. And it's not that he's been great, but it's just a weird year for the A's. It doesn't really feel like a rebuilding year, but it doesn't feel like they're really competing
contenders
for the division.
Yeah,
right. It's very strange. So the Royals pick up where they've been leaving off for the most part, playing really good ball.
Kind of starting to run away with the division a little bit.
Yep, sweep the A's at home in Oakland. And that brings us to our next point where, you know, the All-Star voting closes on Sunday, I believe. And we're still looking at some outrageous mockery of the All-Star game potentially happening.
Down to five, though, from what it was, eight?
Down to five from eight for the Royals, but still some absurdity. The leader in the clubhouse being Omar Infante, still leading at second base over Altuve. Omar Infante has zero home runs, 23 RBIs, a .237 average, a .243 on base percentage.
Yeah, that's horrible.
He is a bad baseball player. He is not good at his job compared to his peers. And there is a decent chance he will start the All-Star game.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous.
You go on down the line, Alcides Escobar could very well start at shortstop. He's having a very average season. Alex Gordon might start in the outfield, hitting .271 with six home runs in the outfield.
Right.
I mean, come on. So, the commissioner said recently, "Oh, we really don't need to fix anything, and if need be, you know, we'll step in and make adjustments." But it's like, what do you mean you don't need to fix anything? You're making the World Series home field advantage available to the team that wins the All-Star game, and you potentially have subpar to poor players starting the All-Star game.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And for him to say, well, the system's not broken, but we'll go ahead and step in if we need to.
That means it's broken.
That means it's broken.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's kind of cool about it is that because home field is determined by this game, the fact that there are so many Royals in the game, it's kind of like they're fighting for the right to, like, because they're the best team in the American League.
They are.
You know, and so it's kind of like they're fighting for their right to get that game seven.
Yeah.
In a way. You know what I mean? But I, first of all, I've said this for a long time. We need to make sure that this is not determine home field advantage.
Oh, hell
no. It's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And like you've pointed out time and time again, it's already an exciting game compared to other All-Star events because, like you said, the mano-a-mano matchup between pitcher and hitter, guys don't want to look bad.
Guys don't want to drop fly balls.
So they're playing defense, unlike the NHL and the NBA and
exactly,
the NFL.
Exactly.
And so, you know, you don't get these 9-7 hockey games that just never happen in
reality.
Or,
160 to 150 basketball games.
Yeah, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
And so, you know, baseball, the All-Star game, it's a wonderful thing as it is. We need to get rid of that rule. And also they need to do something about the IP addresses because something you can have like 35 different ones and then you can vote 50 times on something.
Whatever,
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It doesn't make any sense.
So,
they don't even have paper balloting anymore. It's gone.
Yeah.
Paper balloting does not exist at the ballpark. So no more using your keys to punch the little hole.
Yeah, which is fun for me.
It was cool. I thought it was cool.
It was very cool.
And I know that makes us sound older, but I don't know. It was cool. You sit there at a baseball game and you punch your card and you turn it in. I thought that was cool.
Yep.
And then the Home Run Derby, they're tweaking it again this year because it sucked last year worse than ever with all of these weird, you know, ways they're adding up the home runs and money balls, and it was endless. It went on for like 4.5 hours. So now they're going to have timed rounds where, you know, the players don't get to take as many pitches. But you know what? It's just like the dunk contest. Just leave it alone. Just have X amount of players. They hit X amount of home runs per round per 10 outs. You add them up, and that's it.
It's antiquated.
Why does there need to be a gimmick?
No, it's totally become the dunk contest.
Just have it be what it is. It's a home run derby. You hit home runs or you don't.
Right.
It's like the slam dunk contest. Have them line up and dunk the ball.
Yeah.
Why do we have all of this extracurricular activity?
Jumping over Kias.
Or you know, these weird rounds that you equal something else and celebrity judges. It's just like, just have it be what it is. I don't get it.
It's a joke. I think something I heard today, somebody threw out the idea. It was Wilbon, actually. He said, you know, we should have a skills challenge. You know, and I'd like to see that maybe, you know, see guys in the outfield, you know, shagging fly balls and then see who can be the most accurate, you know, with their outfield assists.
I mean, they have the celebrity softball game. That's not exactly drawing ratings.
No, I just don't even understand why this event needs to take place at all.
The All-Star game?
No, the Home Run Derby.
Oh, Well, I mean, it's to the point where it's not interesting to watch anymore because of how much they screwed with it.
Right.
You know, it's like, it is a simple thing, and it can be fun, but the more you tinker with it, the worse it gets, just like the slam dunk contest. Mm-hmm. You know, just leave it alone. But they won't. They'll continue to make it worse every year. So maybe I won't watch this year. Normally I do, but it's gotten to that slam dunk standpoint where I just don't want to watch.
Yeah, it's like they've jumped the shark.
And it's in Cincinnati where, you know, you hit a pop-up and it's going over the center field wall.
Right.
So, yeah, they've jumped the shark. But you know what? It is baseball season. I like the summertime thing. Giants are going to Miami. I'm excited. This is a good time of year. It's all about baseball. But we're going to move on. Let's talk the NBA draft here on Say Hey. And number one overall this year, Minnesota, Carl Anthony Towns, University of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't come as a big shock. They had kind of made it known that that's what they wanted to do. Big man. And then number two, people were a little bit surprised. Lakers going with D'Angelo Russell out mm-hmm. of Ohio State instead of Jahlil Okafor out of Duke.
Yep.
And both of these guys were freshmen, of course. And Angelo, they talk about having the most upside, but I don't know. How much do you really know about a point guard coming out after his freshman season at Ohio State?
Very little.
Very little.
I would argue.
And here's what I'll say about Okafor. I don't know if he's going to be the next Tim Duncan, but I guarantee you Okafor is a 20-10 guy that can pass the ball real quick.
Well, we've really made a transition in the NBA, and I don't know how much this has to do with the Warriors winning the championship,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like there's definitely an intention for teams that they're wanting to go small. And they want to compete that way. The age of, you know, just taking the first couple 7-footers that are available, you know, it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple years ago, Okafor would be one, and he would not be further down than two. You know,
you
what I mean?
Think.
We would not be having this discussion 5-10 years ago.
You would think.
And so anyway, you know, it's interesting. I kind of feel bad for Okafor because he's going to the Sixers, and that just seems to be
an organization they just don't know what
they're doing. Such disarray. I mean, they just traded the Rookie of the Year a couple of years ago.
Right.
So every time they do get somebody good, you know,
right.
he either gets injured or they trade him.
Right.
And so I don't know what's going on in there. And it's kind of sad because, you know, Philadelphia's got a rich history,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
Well, you know,
their fans care.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, Philadelphia is a great sports town.
They're, you know, kind of a mean-spirited bunch, but they do care.
They are.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll throw batteries on the field.
They will throw batteries at you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they
frozen
do care.
Snowballs, but they do care.
They
Nothing
throw,
says I care like a frozen
they will
snowball
throw things
in the dome.
At Santa Claus.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. But, yeah, I mean,
brotherly love.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me because Okafor, maybe D'Angelo Russell will turn out to be an all-star point guard. I don't know. And maybe the Lakers find a way to get a big man, and that's why they didn't take Okafor.
I think
because they think they're going to land somebody in free agency.
Like DeMarcus Cousins.
Something like that. But, I mean, I really do believe that Jahlil Okafor, whether or not he's a Hall of Famer or not, I really think this guy's going to be 20-10 very quickly. He's got a good post game. He can pass the ball. He's got big hands. And he can move. So I don't know. He seemed like a number two to me, but I guess time will tell.
I wonder how much Kobe had to play into that decision.
Yeah, you would hope
you
not
know?
Much, but, you know, he's Kobe, so they kind of do whatever he says, it seems like, at least at this point, with the way the organization is run.
But,
you know,
I mean,
Dr. Buss is gone.
I doubt they, you know, they got his opinion on their second pick.
Go on.
Well, they picked Larry Nance Jr.,
uh-huh.
who is the son of a... pretty good NBA player for the Cavs,
mm-hmm.
You know, 20 so years ago.
Out of Wyoming, I believe.
Out of Wyoming. And a couple of years ago, he tweeted out, you know, he made a reference to the rape allegations
uh-huh.
against Kobe Bryant in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something to the effect of, I hope Kobe can keep his hands to himself this time,
huh.
Referencing another trip to play the Nuggets.
Right, right.
And, you know, this was a few years ago and he was a young kid.
Right.
But basically, you know, and so now he's going to be on the same team, you know, in the same locker room as someone. And that's just got to be like, you know, Kobe says it's water under the bridge, but come on.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if anything is water under the bridge with Kobe Bryant.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously that's a, you know, serious allegations that were, you know, thrown out there and it got settled out of court for an undisclosed amount. And,
right.
you know, he wound up having to put a $4 million ring on his wife's hand to, you know, to kind of smooth over the situation. And that was just,
was just horrible.
A show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to feel like, I mean, are they, maybe this is a way where they're trying to like, maybe say to Kobe, okay, you know, your time is over. You know what I mean?
I mean, I would hope so, because he was, until he got injured again last year.
Right.
Statistically, he was the least valuable player in the league when you added up his usage, his turnovers, the way his team was playing with him
mm-hmm.
doing that win-loss record. So I wouldn't expect things to change all of a sudden this season with Kobe's play.
No.
And you know, there's talk about DeMarcus Cousins, which to me is hilarious anyway. DeMarcus Cousins is a really good player. He hasn't given the Kings anything in terms of competing. If you're that great, I know the Western Conference is tough, and I know the Kings are a mess, but to think that somehow you would just get DeMarcus Cousins and you would, like, suddenly compete in a tough Western Conference right. is ludicrous to me. If he can't handle it in Sacramento, pressure-wise, why would he be able to handle it in L.A.?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like Dwight Howard 2.0 with some extra minuses attached. You know, like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Apparently, a lot of people are coveting him.
I know. I mean, he's talented, but yeah. It's like, I don't know. The Kings are such a joke.
Interesting situation with George Karl.
I know.
Having said, kind of come out before the draft saying he wanted to move him.
At total odds with apparently Vlade
ownership
and
general management.
Radivé.
Yeah.
And now they're the Kings GM, who fired Mike Malone because he wasn't his coach,
right.
Pete D'Alessandro, has taken a job in Denver where Mike Malone has been hired.
Yeah.
So both of these guys are now Nuggets, even though they couldn't work together in Sacramento.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, maybe the high altitude will help him out.
And people are saying that Cousins and Karl can't be on the same team now, so one of the two of them has to go?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad the Kings have managed to stay in Sacramento. That's awesome.
That is good.
But everything else they've done since has been a total disaster.
Yeah.
And it looks like it'll continue to be. And they drafted a defense-first center in Willie Cauley-Stein at number 6,
mm-hmm.
who really doesn't have any offensive game. And he's not Dennis Rodman. He didn't average rebound numbers or anything like that. So it's not like I just don't feel like they know what they're doing over there. I mean, they got rid of Isaiah Thomas a couple of years ago, who's turned out to be a great player.
Yes, doing well in Boston.
Yeah, he's a very good little guy. I don't know. They just don't know what they're doing, and it's unfortunate.
I would agree. You know, some say that Cauley-Stein pick was actually to kind of satiate DeMarcus Cousins, because supposedly
that's
friends.
What I read.
You know,
but if you can't play for your head coach, I guess it won't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're at odds here. I mean, either Karl or Cousins, I think, has got to go.
Apparently so, which is unfortunate for Kings fans. But what can you do?
Yeah. I mean, George Karl is a great NBA coach. I mean, as far as like his win-loss record, and he's taken some teams really deep. The Bucks to the conference finals. He took the Sonics against the Michael Jordan-led Bulls in '96. You know, so he's gotten there, but I just don't know if he's like, I mean, he's a great basketball mind.
He's got a lot of Don Nelson in him.
But I just don't know if like the players really are going to react to him.
No, and he's one of these guys that he can come in and do some good things, and he can also destroy
right.
a team and the surrounding environment.
Yeah.
Like, he can leave you high and dry, just like Don Nelson did to the Warriors more than once.
I think he's got one of those egos
mm-hmm.
where I think in today's NBA, I think you kind of have to be a little bit more passive,
mm-hmm.
you know, because a lot of the players out there, it's a very ego-driven league.
Yep.
You know, so I don't know. I think a guy like Steve Kerr, who is more of like just is able to massage these personalities, if you will, and get them to kind of
create a team
atmosphere
yep.
instead of this authoritarian
yep.
kind of do it my way or the highway sort of attitude, which I feel like George Karl may have.
Even Phil Jackson looks kind of silly doing that as the GM in New York now. Like, kind of presenting himself as this, like, omnipotent being. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't really jive with some of the other success stories around the league. I don't know.
Yeah, and an interesting pick for the Knicks at 4.
Yes.
They take Porzingis out of Latvia, who, you know, some say could be the next Dirk Nowitzki, but other, you know, he could also be the next Andrea Bargnani.
The dude is like 7'2", 200 some odd pounds.
Dripping wet.
He is rail thin,
he
man.
Is.
And I don't care how well he shoots. You can't even in a up tempo NBA.
Right.
You can't play like that in the NBA for that size.
Well, he's young.
He's a project.
He's a project.
And Knicks fans are like, well, like, give me a break. They, you know, we want to actually win now.
They were upset, but at the same time, there was no silver bullet in this draft that was going to make them contenders.
Not contenders. And once Okafor went 3, you know. But still, to take some guy that you're admitting is probably at least 2 years out to being really an NBA factor if things go well.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's kind of painful.
Well, you know, it's funny to see Carmelo come out and say, you know, he was upset at first. And then today he's kind of, you know, backtracked a little and said that this guy was a steal at number 4.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I mean, let's look at Carmelo. He signed this giant deal to play, you know, granted, it's to stay home in New York. But, it, you know, at the same time, it's like if you really wanted to compete for a championship, then you would have gone to the Bulls.
Right.
You know what I mean? You would have taken less money to try and win now.
Yep.
And he's not getting any younger.
No.
I mean? He's got
a lot
of miles on that body.
As my roommate likes to point out, he's probably at that point where he shouldn't really be, you know, considered the first option offensively on a team that's supposed to contend. I mean, he's approaching his early mid-30s.
Well, he's in Kobe Bryant land now.
You
he's
know?
Just going to jack up 40 shots a game and make his teammates worse.
He really shouldn't be your guy.
No.
But I guess he is their guy, and the Knicks are, I don't know. I don't see them competing next year. Although the Eastern Conference is so bad that you never know.
It's so bad.
They sign a couple of free agents, they could be the 5 seed. You know, the 4 seed.
I mean, absolutely. Look at Miami right now. Picking up Justice Winslow and, you know, with McRoberts and that center that they got, that young kid, I can't remember his name right now, Hassan Whiteside.
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, you know, if Dwayne Wade comes back, not that he's like, you know, the Dwayne Wade of old, obviously.
No.
Hampered, maybe only give you about 60 games a year. But, I mean, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, Pat Riley could have those guys be contenders again in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know? But, you know, I think it's going to be Cavs-Warriors again, to be honest with you.
It very well could, although the West is so tough. But, yeah, I mean, the Warriors, you know, they had their challenges in Memphis, you know, having to beat a team that played a different brand of ball than them. But they did it. And once they adjusted, it wasn't that close.
No.
So if they play the same thing, they get Draymond back. Draymond's got to come back.
Right.
You know, I think it's not out of this world to expect a rematch. Of course, we're looking way ahead.
There's a lot to be done still in free agency.
Wanted to get your take before we run out of time, though. I thought Boston had a pretty good draft.
I thought they had a great draft.
Yeah.
Took a guard at 16, Rozier out of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I like players that come from good programs under good head coaches, you know, because I know Patino knows how to, you know, recruit good talent. And, you know, even if those guys don't wind up staying there for very long, you know, usually they're going to come out and be pretty good. Really heavy at guard right now with Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're kind of just stockpiling. You know, they had 4 picks this year. I think they have 3 or 4 next year.
Right.
You know, so they're just kind of – and I like the kid. They got the kid from Georgia State too.
Right.
It was a really nice story this year out of the NCAA tournament. He can shoot from anywhere in the gym.
Right.
So if they put some of these pieces together and they go out and maybe get somebody in free agency.
I'm gonna make a bold call right now, noobs. And I'm saying that
– Eastern Conference semis.
Boston goes out – gets a free agent, somebody, one or two guys, a couple of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying they're the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference next year.
I like
the
it.
Cavs.
I like
that's,
it.
That's my bold prediction.
Please come true.
That would be cool. That would be kind of cool to see them come back with the young head coach and all.
Yeah, Brad Stevens, I think, is one of the best head coaches in the league now.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's not – remember the time when college coaches coming across the
could not succeed?
That is all of a sudden not the case anymore.
No.
That's kind of a thing. It wasn't a myth. But now it's like some – I don't know what's changed. Coaching philosophies, style of game,
right.
Who knows? But college coaches are succeeding at the pro level now.
Mm-hmm.
So young guy like Stevens, I mean, so he was in contention for coach of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he finished like 3rd or 4th in the voting.
Right.
Obviously, you can't, you know, take away from what the coach in Atlanta did.
No.
That team of basically kind of – second-rate players to 60 wins.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, the future's bright in Boston. You know, I'm just worried about Danny Ainge making a dumb move, which he's kind of, you know, liable to do sometimes. He's really just made that one huge thing with Kevin Garnett, and that's what got them that championship.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't responsible for drafting Paul Pierce.
Would you like it if Pierce came back? You got to answer that question in 30 seconds.
Yes. Yes, yes,
I remember,
and yes.
I remember how bummed you were when he left, and I feel like Boston fans would appreciate.
And how I berated you about how if he was on the Lakers that he would have won as many championships as Kobe.
I remember that. I didn't
forgive
see
me for
I
that one.
I didn't see it coming. Let you know that Say Hey has been made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Sierra Nevada Brewing Company. Producers of locally crafted ales and beer since 1981, Sierra Nevada Brewing Company also offers fine dining at their tap room and restaurant at 1075 East 20th Street in Chico. More information at sierranevada.com. And by Payroll Plus, payroll and human resources experts for any size business. Owner Dolly Wendell and her staff can solve your payroll, workers' comp, group health insurance, employee benefits, and human resource management needs. In these changing times of employee compliance and tax laws, professional assistance is a must. To reach Dolly at Payroll Plus, call 566-0452 and set your mind at ease. Noobs, we will see you next week.
Sounds good.
Stick around for Peace Talk Radio coming up next. G is in the production room.